Good morning, everybody. Our first reading is from the book of Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 23, beginning at the first verse, the righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in numbers. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tono tana kupu ki a tātou. And our gospel reading, holy gospel reading for today, is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, beginning at verse 33. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki tu atua. This is part of the crucifixion narrative in Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above them which read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Te ronga pai tēnei, a te ka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the word. Whakamoe matitia ea te kupu mana.
Oh, thanks. Good to be here. Yeah, I think probably you've been told the story. Henry has COVID, and Henry was due to take the service down at St. Michael's, so I just did that and then came back up here, and here I am. So thank you for being patient and stuff. Just to say, it's Christ the King Sunday this Sunday. Christ the King is kind of the Sunday that ends the church year. The church year starts with Advent, and we're about to have Advent, aren't we? I think it's next week. So next week will be the beginning of the church year. And why does it begin with Advent? I think various reasons, but one big one is, you know, because it's looking forward to the birth of Christ. And it's the whole church year is the story of Christ. So we start at the beginning. But it's also actually looking forward to the second coming of Christ. But we'll say more about that in Advent. So it's looking forward to his first coming and his second. But anyway, so at the end of the year where we are now, we have Christ the King Sunday, and it's just celebrating all of the life of Christ, everything that we've been through, you know, through Christmas and then through Lent and Easter, Christ's death, his resurrection, Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit, and now we remember that Christ is enthroned. He's enthroned in heaven. That's a good way to kind of end the cycle, as it were, before we prepare to start again. So, but the thing is, well, first before I say that, who watched Christ the King Sunday, right? We have currently a king just got enthroned, didn't we? Who watched the coronation of King Charles III or saw bits of it or whatever? Yeah. Okay. Forgive me. You're right. Yeah. The announcement of King. Yeah. What's the official term? The proclamation. Yeah. And all the kind of ceremony that went with that. Well, and yes, and the coronation itself. We have. You can imagine what that's going to look like. And the, you know, we already saw what the Queen's funeral was like and the proclamation was like. There's so much ceremony, pomp, circumstance, you know, majesty, if you like, and kind of glory of the earthly kingdoms, as it were. And yet, on Christ the King Sunday, why do we have this reading? It's Jesus' crucifixion. What's that all about? Why isn't it? Yeah, the glory of God. It is the glory of God. And the whole of John's gospel looks forward to, he keeps talking about the glory that Jesus is going, you know, that we revealed through Christ. And that glory is the cross. It's incredible. So Christ the King Sunday, we read about the cross. And the earliest church, the earliest Christians, talked about Jesus reigning from the tree, from the cross, the wood of the cross, the tree, they called it sometimes. It's the same word in Greek. Christ reigning from the tree, from the cross. Isn't that quite incredible? So that's his enthronement, if you like. That's Jesus' enthronement. Our earthly kings, we're used to seeing all this glory, all this majesty, all this power and manifestation of dignity and honor and glory and majesty and all these things. You know, it's we see incredible riches, don't we, in our earthly kingdoms. We've been seeing this for thousands of years. It's not new. England didn't just make it up yesterday. You know, and it's not unique to England. Throughout the world, all empires, all civilizations have had one way or another their ways of showing glory to the ruler, the king or the queen. And yet on Christ the King Sunday, we read about the cross and Jesus stretching out his arms on the cross and reigning from the tree, from the cross. We hear those words again and again, actually, in that reading. It says that the people that were mocking him said, "If you're the king of the Jews, come down from the cross." Above Jesus' body on the cross is written the words, "The King of the Jews." You know, the thief, one of the thieves next to him, says, "You know, Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Yeah, he recognizes him as a king. There's all of this kingship, but it turns upside down our concepts of what a king is, doesn't it, in our world, of what a ruler is, of what glory really looks like. It's not to say that Jesus doesn't have glory, because he does. And when he turns up in the book of Revelation and speaks to John, what does John do? He just falls flat on his face, and he's like, you know, he thinks he's going to die. Because there's Jesus, and he's shining in all his majesty. There's like, his eyes are like flames of fire. There's a sword coming out from his mouth. You know, his feet are burnished bronze. He's just like absolutely incredible vision of Jesus. Our God is a glorious God. But at the heart of that glory, at the heart of the throne of God in the book of Revelation, is a lamb who was slain. A lamb standing as if slain. In other words, he's beaten the power of death, but he still bears the wounds. That's the glory of our God, that can humble himself so much to come to our rescue, to come to our aid. Now, you've got the two thieves on either side, right? Or the two criminals on either side of the cross. And I think it's really interesting what they both say, isn't it? They both have very different things to say. So the three of them, Jesus crucified in the center and the two on either side. And one says to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, and Messiah means king. It doesn't mean savior. Jesus means savior. But Messiah, the word, means anointed one, doesn't it? And the anointed one in the Old Testament, well, there were three, was prophets, priests, and kings. Yeah. So kings were anointed in the Old Testament. So they, the people of that time would often use the word Messiah interchangeably with the idea of a king who was coming. And the king was coming to save them. So, you know, the king was a savior. But that was the idea. But the Messiah was a king, an anointed one, but a savior too. And he says, if you are the Messiah, you know, save us. Come down off the cross. Save us. You can get us off the cross. And he hurls insults at Jesus because he doesn't really believe he's anything great because he's ended up on a cross. So he hurls insults at him, including, you know, get us, if you're so great, if you're so full of power and majesty like the kings of this earth, then rip yourself off the cross and me too, and let's go and have it out with these flipping Romans and chief priests and whoever they think they are that stuck us here in the first place. You know? Use your power for violence. And let's get some real glory, some gory glory, and get our revenge. But I know you're not, and I know you can't. And the other one says something very different, doesn't he? The penitent thief says, little echoes of Indiana Jones there, but we'll leave that one aside. The penitent thief says to Jesus, what does he say? Yeah, he says, this other guy is like the Pharisee, you know, the Pharisee and the publican or the Pharisee and the tax collector. He doesn't think he deserves this. Just get us off here and we'll give them what they deserve. This one says, we deserve this. You know, leave him alone. We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Another way of translating that is nothing hateful. I really like that. It's beautiful, isn't it? This man has done nothing hateful, nothing wrong, nothing untoward. But we're getting what we deserve. And then he says to Jesus, Lord Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you... He recognizes this man who is bleeding, whose flesh is torn, as a king. And he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. And it's quite beautiful. Paradise is the place in the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, where we lost it. We lost paradise. We fell from paradise. Men and women, you know, we blew it. We ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because we were corrupted after that, you know, it would have been awful if we'd got to eat the tree of life as well, because that corruption would have gone on and on and on forever. So we were protected from the tree of life by God. He puts this, do you remember, there's cherubim and the flaming sword, it says. And there's this kind of, we're not allowed to take from the tree of life. But Jesus says to the penitent thief, to the one who recognizes that he's getting what he deserves, but Jesus isn't. And that Jesus is taking that for us, what we deserve. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. The way is open again. I am opening right now on the cross the way back to the tree of life. Isn't that wonderful? To paradise, to the tree of life. So I think those are the two choices we have to respond, really, to Christ as King, the one who died on the cross and has risen again and will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. We've got two possible responses. We can think, well, I don't really deserve this, what I'm getting, you know. And I tell you the truth, I think that myself. I do. And I believe, probably, if we're honest with ourselves, I want to say all of us think like that from time to time. You know? I don't really deserve death. You know, I mean, yeah, I know I've sinned. I've done wrong things. I have. I can admit that, right? But surely I don't really deserve death. You know, I don't deserve anything like that. I'm all right. You know, I'm quite good. Do you ever think that? Yeah, you know. And the thing is, we are a bit good. It's not that we're, I mean, you know, there's different theologies about this. But I deserve death. If I, you know, that I don't have it in me to get rid of all the things, the hurtful things and the hateful things that I've done to others. I don't have it in me to get rid of those things. I've done them. I've been jolly well selfish. I've really thought about myself above others and before others. We all have, haven't we? You know? And so the best thing for me is to be like the penitent thief. Best thing for us, and to say to Jesus, we're getting what we deserve, you know? Yeah, sometimes I'm like this other guy, and I just want to get my own back, you know, and say, come on, I don't really deserve this. But actually, if I'm honest, I have sinned. I don't deserve anything because of what I've done, anything good. You know, I don't have a right to the tree of life. Well, actually, I deserve this. You know, I've earned it. I own this thing. I've bought it with my own efforts and my own bare hands and my own struggles and everything, and you know, the empires that I've built or whatever it is. I don't deserve the tree of life. I'm getting what I deserve. But Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, because as you die on the cross, you open the gates of paradise again. You open the way to the tree of life. Isn't it wonderful? And I just think that's the choice we have. Do you ever think about sinning? You know, do you ever think, just feel a bit, you know, you know, I'm just feeling a little bit selfish right now, and I just want to, you know, say this thing to this person or do this thing or, you know, forget. You know, I could do some good here, and I'm not going to, because I just want to be, you know, it to be all about me right now. I find that if in those moments I remember that I'm going to die, and I think about what if I were to die right now and be standing before the judgment throne of God, and suddenly everything looks very different, and what looks like sweet for a moment looks really sour, and I think, oh, I don't want that. Not really, actually.
You're right, Mark. Sweet the song of the Lord is momentary.
Mm-hmm. Sweet the sin, but bitter the taste in the mouth. Yeah. Definition between God and... Well, that's a good question. Should we talk about that afterwards? You can ask me. Yeah, because that would be cool. Well, that's, I think, all we've got time for really this morning. But just to say that that's where we are. We have the choice. We're going to die, all of us. Are we going to go, actually, I'm getting what I deserve because I don't deserve to eat from the tree of life by my own efforts, but through the cross of Christ, he has opened that way up again for me so that I can eat through his great, great mercy and love, through his death and his resurrection. I can eat from the tree of life. I can eat, I can receive that gift of life. There is a gift. It's not a dessert. It's not deserved. But it's a gift of life. And God gives it to us because Christ is reigning from the tree. And he is now risen and exalted and reigns in glory and will come in glory to take us to be with him. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Forgive us for when we're like that thief who just says, just save me from all of this in a way that I don't have to do anything. I don't have to pay any price and I don't have to sacrifice anything, and I can get what I deserve because I deserve it. From that way of not being honest about ourselves. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us when we're not honest about ourselves. And give us the grace to be honest but not hopeless because we look to you. To be honest and say, well, we're getting what we deserve. We don't deserve everlasting life by our own efforts. But you've opened the gate of paradise by your death. Lord Jesus, help us to look to you, full of love, full of hope, full of thankfulness, and to receive from you as we're honest with you and with ourselves, that we can't do it ourselves. But with you, you've made a way, and we can be with you in paradise. So remember us, Lord Jesus, as you come into your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.